The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message, additional messages, or to follow us on Facebook, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That is www.fbcclearfield.com. We invite you to worship the Lord with us each Sunday at 10:45.
All right, if you have a Bible tonight, we're just going to open God's Word for a little bit tonight. So we're going to be in James chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 13 through 18, just briefly tonight. James 1, 13 through 18. Let me read that. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So does anyone here like fruitcake? Anybody? Oh, there's a couple odd ones. No, just joking. No. An American Express survey about Christmas gifts found that fruitcake was chosen most often as a worst holiday gift. And it even finished ahead of no gift at all, right? And when asked of how to dispose of a gift, 30% said they would hide it in the closet, 21% said they would return it, and 19% would give it away. So when it comes to fruitcake, I don't think you would hide it in your closet. That'd be a little, a little rotten smelling, right? And you can't really return it. I guess you could, but I don't know if anyone would take it. So what that means is that if you get fruitcake, just give it to somebody who raised their hand here tonight, right? And they'll gladly take it and gladly eat it on Christmas. But there are definitely bad gifts and good gifts. And we all can tell a bad gift from a good one. So a bad gift, an example would be to give your wife a gym membership, right? That's a bad gift. So if you got your wife a gym membership, maybe hold off. Maybe she'll want that. So another bad gift would be to give your husband that spray on hair for his balding head, right? That's a bad gift. Although if my wife gets me, I might use it. I'm starting to bald a little bit, so. But there are good gifts as well. Gifts that are thoughtful. Gifts that are planned ahead. Gifts that someone will enjoy and use. And so we all know really what good gifts and bad gifts look like. And some of us are better gift givers than others. Well, tonight we will learn not only about the greatest gift given, but we also know about the greatest giver. The greatest gift giver is God. So Christmas time brings up a lot of emotions in our lives, different thoughts. So we know some people who are just constantly happy and joyous, and they have that Christmas cheer every day, all season long. And you're thinking, what's wrong with that person, right? It's like, how are they happy all the time? They're excited about gifts and family and even Christ's birth. But then there's others who are having a hard time during Christmas. A lot of emotions come up. A lot of difficult thoughts in their minds. Some others may be experiencing struggles with sin in their lives. And when we become discouraged in life, we tend to have some wrong thoughts about God. So in the good times, if you think about it, in the good times, it's easier to have proper thoughts about God because, hey, life is good. But the hard times are really what reveal our thoughts about God, our true thoughts about God. And it's easy to start to believe that sin and evil are the result of God. And when we struggle, we may start to think that God is part of the problem or even is the problem. And we begin to wonder, why does God give me bad things? Why does God give me bad gifts? Why did God make me this way? And so those thoughts start to collect in our minds. But James shows us that God never gives bad gifts, for he's the greatest gift giver there is. So God isn't the problem for your temptations or sin, because God cannot tempt you. In fact, it's impossible for God to tempt you. So yes, God may send hard times and trials into our lives, but that doesn't mean he's tempting us to sin. You see, God's trials are for our good. Even though we may not think it is, even though we may not perceive it that way, it really is. In the wider and bigger perspective of things, it is for good and not evil. Every single thing that God gives is for good. James talks about this in verse 2. He says, count it all joy when you meet various trials in life, because they bring endurance, they bring godliness, they bring maturity in our lives. But temptation is different. Temptation is about luring someone to do evil, and God never does that. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he doesn't tempt people with evil, because he's absolutely holy. And so he is the opposite of sin. And what that means is that God isn't the problem for our sin or temptation. We are the problem. The problems of the world aren't because of God. The problems of the world always go back to sin. Always go back to people's sin. So you see injustice in the world, it's people's sin. You see marriage problem, people's sin. We look at verses 14 and 15, we see we are the problem, not God. It's our sinful desires that are tempted and lured to sin. And James uses this birth imagery to depict sin. So because we are sinners, we have these sinful desires within us. And so when temptation comes, we give in to those temptations and we give birth to sin. And sin brings forth death, because God must judge sin. So what that means is that whenever you sin, you can never say, God made me do it. You can never even say, someone else made me do it. In essence, you made you do it. So yes, others may tempt you, and that temptation may be strong, but ultimately, you did the sin. You made you do it. And James says in verse 16, don't be deceived. Joseph Goebbels, if you remember, Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister, said this: if you tell a big enough lie and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. And I'd like to change it slightly to, if you tell yourself a big enough lie and keep repeating it, you will eventually start to believe it. There are many times when we deceive ourselves into believing wrong things about God. So discouragement comes along, hopelessness comes along, fear and doubt and denial all come upon us and they start to deceive ourselves into thinking incorrectly about God. And that's why James is telling us, don't be deceived about God in trials and temptation. Evil doesn't come from him. Instead, it comes from us. Good comes from the Lord. You see, God only and ever gives good, perfect gifts. The Lord never gives a bad gift. Every act of giving, every good gift comes from God. So that means every single grain of good in the world ultimately finds its origin in God. And these gifts are perfect. They're not lacking in anything, but they're exactly what we need and when we need them. just to look around and you can see God's good gifts. You see life, you see wisdom, you see family, food, shelter, you see all these other things that are God's good gifts to us. And it's easy to focus on what we don't have, but let's focus on what we do have. And he says, these good gifts come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So God is unchanging. So therefore, he will always be good, and he will always give good gifts. So nothing's going to prevent him from giving good gifts. So no financial strain is going to hold him back from giving a good gift. No temporary mental lapse is going to make him give a bad gift. He's always going to give good things. Our constant God gives constant good. Our constant God gives constant good. So the best preventative against being deceived about hardship and God's character is remember the goodness of God. God is good. And that's never going to change. God is good. And the greatest gift that God has given is found in verse 18. Salvation. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The image is new birth in Christ. The greatest gift that God has given to us is salvation. And salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, who he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So no matter what you get in life from other people, gift-wise, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you have already received the best gift that you could ever receive. And nothing can top that. Nothing can beat it. And once you receive that gift, there's no losing it. So if you haven't trusted in Christ, do that today. As we found out, our sin is the problem. We're all sinners. Just think of the many times that you have lusted or lied or got angry at someone or had wrong thoughts about someone or was selfish. That's sin. And James says, sin brings forth death, for the wages of sin is death. Even just one of those sins deserves punishment. And because of our sin, we deserve to all die and be separated from God forever. Because we sinned against the holy God. But there's good news. Amidst that backdrop of bad news, there's good news. The greatest gift giver sent his Son to be born on this earth. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus, who took on flesh, and who would live a perfect life, and who would ultimately die on the cross for our sins. Die in our place. So he wasn't just born so that we could say, oh, how cute, a baby is born. Let's celebrate. Yeah, that's great. It's not just to say, oh, let's have a fun holiday. He was born with a purpose, to save his people from their sin. He came to be born so that he could die on the cross for your sins, taking your sins, all those sins I just listed, upon himself, so that God's wrath would be satisfied in him. And so that you can find forgiveness, you can find eternal life, you can find a home in heaven. And he did that for you. But you must receive this gift. Like any gift, you must receive it. You must repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ to save you. Only he can save. So what that means is that no good work of your own will save you. You can't add anything to your salvation. Only Christ's work on the cross saves. So will you trust him today? If you have any questions, see me afterwards. Talk to someone else. But as I think about good gift givers, typically they have certain habits, right? They observe what's needed. They don't focus on the cost. They make the gift personal. they plan ahead, so they're not, you know, going out tonight and, you know, right? When you think about God, He definitely observed what was needed. He saw our need, that we couldn't save ourselves, and He sent His Son. He surely didn't focus on the cost because He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross at such a great cost. He made His gift personal in the fact that His gift is available to anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord. And He certainly planned ahead. He didn't procrastinate the last minute. But His great gift was planned from the beginning. So as you open up presents tonight or tomorrow, whenever you do it, whether they be good gifts or bad, whether they be fruitcake, right, or balding spray, or your favorite gift you've ever received, remember the goodness of the greatest gift giver and the greatest gift given, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your word. We're thankful as we celebrate Christmas that You have sent Your Son to undeserving people, but people who had a great need because of our sin. And You sent Him graciously and mercifully to the world. You did it for a purpose, to save us from our sins. So may we celebrate Christmas as we should. And may we keep in mind the great cost that it took. In Jesus' name, amen.